he's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Friday. It is the Friday, March 22nd edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. And it looks like the market taking a little bit of a break here today. It needs a breather, it would seem to me. We've had a lot of AI fervor here taking place. Fed speak. And we've had some March madness of our own. The Dow is down 51 today after closing at a new all-time high yesterday of 39. It's at 39,730, closing in on 40,000. The S&P is up 1 point today to 5243. The NASDAQ now is up 15 to 16,416. That's a new all-time high in the NASDAQ, 16,416. The small caps are down 30 basis points. Crude oil is down 10 cents to 80.97. Gold, which hit a new record this past week, is down $5 to 21.79. Silver's up 6 cents, 25.07. We've got the 10-year down 6 basis points, so I guess the bond market liked what the Fed said this past week. And we got a lot of Fed speakers today, which we'll get to in a bit. And last but not least, Bitcoin. Bitcoin is down 3,407. It's down 10,000 now from its high at 63,371. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with the professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. And I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. My first question, Barry, is how many brackets were busted yesterday? When Kentucky went down to, who was it they went down to? I never heard of that college before.
Oakland, actually.
Okay, now which Oakland is that? Is that the Oakland out in the Bay Area, San Francisco, or is it a different Oakland?
I'm not even sure. I think so, but I'm not sure which the actual name of the college is. I know there's, like I said, there's Oakland. And for myself, I think my bracket was busted after the first game yesterday. I think it took to the third game until I actually got a win.
Yeah, well, there's never been a perfect bracket, and you can see why. I mean, when you would have had to have had the Oakland beating Kentucky yesterday, along with all the other
handful of other things.
Matches. Okay. Yeah, exactly. That's why it's such a difficult thing to crack. I wonder what AI said yesterday. Well, anyways, we did have another up day in the market yesterday. We closed at all-time highs across the board. The interesting thing for me as I look through a lot of charts yesterday, as I always do, and remember, I'm looking at charts of the best stocks, the ones that have the best relative strength momentum, no matter what sector they come from. So I'm looking at a pretty good list every day. It was the low-tech stocks that really led the day yesterday, and I'm going to say that is because of the dovish Fed. So the number one sector in the market yesterday was the building sector, more specifically building supply sector that provide materials for homes. And kind of tied into real estate and lower interest rates. Number two sector yesterday were the industrials. So I guess you could say cyclicals in general as opposed to growth stocks. And the financials have had a good week also because they're all interest rate sensitive. And they liked that was music to their ears to hear of three potential rate cuts this year. So we had new highs across the board yesterday on the Dow, the S&P 500, and the NASDAQ, and a new high on Japan. It's 41,000 now. The forward P.E. ratio of the S&P 500 closes yesterday at 21.6. 21.6. That's probably what worries me most about the market at the current time. You have a little bit of mania, IPO mania yesterday. Reddit was up 48% in its debut, a company that's never made a nickel in earnings. And they have sales, but no earnings. The stock is down 8.7% here this morning after yesterday's hot open. Let's see. I noticed the schedule is pretty heavy today with Fed speakers. Why don't they stay home and watch basketball? I guess most of those games are in the evening. But look at all these guys speaking today. I mean, they're raking in the bucks. Fed, Bowman, Jerome Powell at 9 a.m., Jefferson at 10, Barr at 12:15. Then the Baker Hughes rig count. I always like that one. And then Bostic at 4 p.m. this afternoon. Just he wants to get done before that that game tonight. Now, San Diego State plays at 1:50 p.m. today. I'll try to catch that game. Let's not forget, they were the runners-up last year. Now, that's a college I attended for about a year, and I didn't learn a thing. No, I think I might have been there 2 years, year and a half. I can't remember one thing I learned there other than Don Coryell had one of the greatest offenses of all time, took it to the NFL, blah, blah, blah. And Monty Montezuma could throw that javelin. We had a mascot. They finally got rid of him because it was not racially sensitive. Monty Montezuma would come out as an Aztec and throw the javelin. Just missed the cheerleaders one time, and I think that's another part of him losing his job as the mascot.
Yeah, I remember Marshall Faulk there during the.
We had some great quarterbacks that came out of San Diego State. Dennis Shaw, Kelly, the guy that went. Let's see, who was it? Well, we had some good athletes, but Coryell was a genius. Okay, another frenzy in the market this past week. We began the week with the speech by NVIDIA CEO Jensen Huang, and that set off a little bit, but not as much as I expected. Really, NVIDIA barely moved during the week. I don't think there was anything that earth-shaking. I think Apple was probably the one that took it on the chin a little bit. That's kind of a weak chart on Apple. Not Apple. AMD kind of took it on the chin a little bit because, of course, they'll have news of their own at some point on the gains they're making in that AI space. AMD is weak again today, breaking below its 50-day moving average. But other chip stocks yesterday did okay. Broadcom had a good day. Micron was the stock of the day yesterday. We're finding out that flash memory is also a player in the AI space. The semiconductor equipment stocks had a good day yesterday. Lam Research, ASM, KLA, Applied Materials. Qualcomm was up 1.8% yesterday, so a pretty decent day overall for the market. Let's see. Now, today, there was one big firm yesterday, Piper Sandler, one of those, says, it's time for a pause. It's time for a pause in the market, and we may be getting that here today. And you got a valuation problem, obviously. Okay, now we've got another firm out today. Who is this saying this? I'm trying to find out who it is. They are saying that the S&P, 20% of its holdings are flashing overbought signals. I've never found the overbought thing to be very reliable. Barry, I've seen things, I've seen markets and stocks in that overbought range for a long time.
Still go higher, right? I mean, the thing is, too, is you're telling me 25% of the S&P is overbought, right? I mean, that could be five stocks, right?
Yeah,
in terms of what makes up. You think of a handful of companies nowadays, make up 25% of the S&P 500. So it doesn't, in other words, that statistic by itself doesn't necessarily surprise me.
No. The RSI indicator, relative strength indicator, you know, it's kind of like a band, a Bollinger band. And when it goes to the extreme, it goes outside of the band. It can go above the band, indicating overbought. It can go below the band, indicating oversold. But here, you know, really, in the 10 most overbought stocks in the S&P 500 are not the Big Ten. They're mostly energy stocks. You've got Energy, number one. Valero's just gone straight up recently, number two. Chipotle, number four. Marathon, O'Reilly Automotive, Diamondback Energy, and Marathon Oil. So it's the oil stocks, believe it or not, that are overbought. What's next for the Fed? We're already looking ahead to next month's meeting. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. The Dow down 108, the NASDAQ down 5 right now on, a day when the market could use a little bit of a rest, a little bit of a pullback. And you know what? I mean, like I say, to get that forward P.E. ratio back into a reasonable area, it probably belongs somewhere in the 19 range. Take an 11% correction to get back. I'm not saying that's going to happen, but for it to get back to 19, you'd either have to have a huge increase in earnings estimates, the E part of the equation. I don't see that happening. Or you'd have to have a decrease in the price of the S&P 500, which would be more likely. Or it can go to 23 times forward P.E., which it did back in 2021.
And from interest rates could go down too, I guess, right?
Yeah, and I mean, from there, we had a horrible year in 2022, but that was the Fed raising rates at that point. Now, this time around, the Fed has pretty much said, that's it. You've seen the top in interest rates, and I think that probably helped this rally here this week. Now, you know, looking ahead, three rate cuts is what is on the dot plot. That's what the dot plot shows right now. And, of course, that's dependent, and it's mostly dependent on one thing, and that would be inflation. And then the other next year they cut. I don't know how many are – I can't find a number here of how many are proposed for next year.
Yeah, they reduced it by one, whatever the number was.
So overall, I mean, it was more dovish than expected, and you've seen interest rates which got up to 4.35. Let's not forget we had a couple of hot inflation prints last week, PPI and the CPI, and then this week the Fed came in dovish despite those hot prints. And it is an election year. I know the Fed's supposed to be independent. But, they get a little bit of pressure. I remember Trump really pressuring Powell during the last election, and I'm sure Biden's putting the heat on the Fed to give him some rate cuts before the election.
Yeah, I mean, they just look like they're ready to cut, and it's just like they can't wait for a reason to cut. But, yeah, the further along in the calendar they go, right, then the actual effect, the lag effect of cutting, may not be show its head in the economy until after the election. So
yeah, well, and all three rate cuts have been built into the market already. They're there,
right.
And then some. Now the Bitcoin, I have to mention this. Bitcoin got up to a high, an all-time high. I don't know if I caught it right at the peak, but here's what I recorded as the high, 73,800. and now it's 62,800. So it's lost $11,000 in what I call the most unpredictable asset class out there. You know, it's just, it trades on sentiment, emotion, fear, greed, supply, demand, which, you know what, I mean, I can't come up with an algorithm or a formula. I'm sure there are those out there that know the demand. You know, they were saying that the demand was tremendous for the ETFs, just to fill those ETFs as people bought into Bitcoin ETFs. Now, obviously, the ETFs had to go out and buy Bitcoin. Has that buying abated for now, and are people now selling into this rally in Bitcoin? But it is down 11,000. It's down 4,500 points today. That's 6.8%, and it's sitting at 62,811. Now, looking at a chart of another commodity, which isn't quite as unpredictable as that, it looks like oil has cooled off. The oil stocks have cooled off. Interesting that the 10 most overbought stocks in the S&P 500 are mostly oil-related. And oil has cooled off now in about the $80 area. We'll see where it goes from here. But I'm not really a buyer yet of oil stocks. And then gold has had a good run. Gold closed at an all-time high 3 days ago as it cracked through 2,000. Let's see, it's currently at 2,137. That was its all-time high. Gold's another one that's very, very difficult to put a formula to come up with the valuation on gold. It is like Bitcoin. It trades like Bitcoin. I mean, it's supply, demand, it's fear. Fear really drives gold more than greed. So anyways, that's where the commodities are. The commodity stocks, basic material stocks, had a pretty good week. I look at Freeport-McMoRan, FCX. It had a good run. That's kind of an indicator of the global economy. And then you can go to the basic materials ETF, IYM, which has gone on a pretty solid run. And it looks like it's starting to cool off here. We have Trump. Today's the big day for Donald Trump. He stands to gain $3 billion if DWAC shareholders clear the Truth Social merger. Now, we have one client, Barry, that brought that stock in, Digital World Acquisition Corp. So because, you know, I'm the money manager attached to that, I'm getting calls to vote, right, on the special. Because this is a SPAC.
Yeah, that's right.
It's
yeah,
a SPAC right now.
Still, yeah, and, still. It's been a SPAC for a while, you know, really since its existence.
And if shareholders green light the SPAC deal, which I don't know why they wouldn't, then you've got Trump Media and Technology going public. So they're voting Friday on whether the deal should go through. If shareholders greenlight the SPAC deal, Donald Trump will own a major stake in the combined company. His stake could be valued at over $3 billion on the stock price, which has more than doubled in value this year and rose 4% this month. However, Trump can't sell his shares easily for 6 months due to the deal's lockup period.
Right.
I'm sure he would love to access that money now. You'd think he could put it up as collateral, but I guess because it's a stock, I don't know. And in the meantime, obviously, they are looking at seizing his New York golf course up there because he's got a $454 million bail to come up with. What a crazy story this is. But the stock, who knows, maybe this right bails him out.
Could
okay, I want to look. Yeah. That's right. I want to look at Apple when we come back. It's had a tough. And Tesla. These are two stocks that continue to struggle mightily. We'll be right back.
This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show.
And welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. And right now we've got the Dow down 111 and NASDAQ down 1726. I just did see breaking news that the SPAC did go through. They voted to take that thing public, which, you know, I don't know why they wouldn't do that. So Trump has got... For now, he's got some $3 billion there, right, that he can't access for about 6 months. And then, of course, you've got to work the market to get out of it. Now, the stock right now is down 5.5% after that news came out. This Apple thing, this is going to be a landmark antitrust case. The Justice Department filed the suit in a New Jersey federal court alleging Apple has violated the Sherman Act by using its iPhone to prevent other companies from offering competitive services such as digital wallets. The suit also alleges Apple limits the functionality of hardware and makes it difficult for users to switch to and communicate with competitive devices such as Android phones. So, anyways, it's Merrick Garland, U.S. Attorney General, held a press briefing late Thursday morning saying, "We allege Apple is violating the law by creating barriers, making it extremely difficult for developers to go outside the Apple operating system." So, that's not good news for Apple. The stock has been under pressure, and you say, well, when are the value investors going to step in here? Well, you know what? I updated my valuation, tweaked it just a little bit yesterday to see where it's at right now. Out of 5,300 stocks, Apple is ranked number 3,384 with 50% upside potential, which is very subpar. I like 75-80% or more. Apple was up 32% last year. It's down 7% this year. And we sold it back quite a while ago. I didn't like the way it was trading. I just did not like the way it was trading. And it's in a downtrend. I mean, it's been in a downtrend since December of last year. We sold it up around 195, somewhere in there, 195. Now it's at 171. It's got a death cross from a technical point of view. It's got some good support at about 167, and it's now at 172. So we'll see if it can hold that support level. But that's going to be a big distraction for them, Barry.
Yeah, and it's where's the next innovation? And we've talked about that a lot for them in terms of, you know, just especially when you're that size of the company, to keep up earnings growth and revenue growth, you've got to, you know, you've got to continually be innovating. And that's really, you know, where Tim Cook has been a good, he's kind of been a good handholder, right, in terms of maintaining what they, kind of exploring or expanding what they already had, before he took over. But there's really been nothing new. I mean,
no.
They just scrapped, which is probably a good idea in terms of scrapping the Apple car idea, right? And then, of course, we've got this headset deal, but who knows? At $3,000-some-odd, right? It's not going to be for the masses. So we'll see where things go. But they're saw today where they're partnering, I think, with Baidu in China for AI, just kind of like they're partnering potentially here with Google for AI. So
yeah,
they're attaching their horses to carts instead of making their own cart, it seems like.
Unfortunately, it seems to be becoming one of these stodgy old growth giants of yesteryear.
It doesn't mean we don't all use their products. I could probably look around my office and you know, see ten different product, you know, Apple products in some form or fashion. But you know, in terms of a good stock and where to put money into, right? It's a different dynamic.
Now, the other stock that is really struggling is Tesla. They are curtailing EV production in China amid slower EV sales growth. So they've decided to curtail their production. I think that's slowing down. Doesn't mean they're going to shut down the line. They used to work 6.5 days per week. They're going to bring that down to 5 days per week. The production line operates on 2 11.5-hour shifts per day, which remains unchanged. But they're slowing things down. Bad news for Elon Musk. That stock's been in a downtrend since last July, when it hit $300 a share, and that's another one. I did not like the way it was trading. And we sold it back in the 226 area. Now it's 169. So it's down $56 per share. That's why it's good to look at charts. A lot of times that's where it shows up first. China's Xi Jinping plans to meet with U.S. CEOs and assure them that China is a good place to do business, because they've seen a pretty big outflow of foreign capital from the world's second largest economy. Who's going? Well, Chubb, president of Chubb, Craig Allen, president of the U.S. Business Council, well, a bunch of CEOs. Of course, Blackstone will be there, Apple's Tim Cook, Blackstone's Steven Schwarzman, hedge fund billionaire Ken Griffin. I don't know. I mean, Apple or China talks the talk, but it just seems like they have not been consistent over the years with their policy and their regulations. And I mean, they're hard on their own companies. Here's my favorite story of the day: hamburger delivery by drone. You know, I could use a good cheeseburger about 1 p.m.
If you can get those fries, do you even, you know, faster than I'm on board with that. It doesn't seem, as long as they're not going to drop some, you know, 5-pound package on me from you know, 200 yards above my head.
For me, it's got to be hot off the grill, you know. I just can't see. By the time a drone gets here, those fries will be so soggy and just all smashed up, the burger, and cold, and like you get at McDonald's, you know. Most, I have noticed they've been doing better lately, but you know, you just never know what you're going to get. One that's been sitting there for a while, they need to follow the In-N-Out model. I'm telling you, hot off the grill, that's the only way to do it. So anyways, it's going to begin in Virginia. If you live in Virginia and you have them, it's going to be Wendy's at first. Let's see, Wendy's. It looks like Wendy's is going to be the one.
I want to know what the delivery cost is at the beginning, right? Because to me, it would sound like a gimmick. I mean, like, I would pay, I don't know, I might pay $30 for my first burger to get delivered right via drone, just because I want to see it happen. You know, after that, I'm sure my cost, well, what I'm willing to pay, is going to go down significantly.
Seems to me it would be cheaper than a driver in a car.
You would think
yeah,
so.
I think it would be. And they say they'll be there in 30 minutes or less. Okay, that's not bad.
Now, does somebody have to pilot the drone? Because if somebody's piloting the drone, right?
Well then that's true, with a joystick.
Yeah, that's going to take, I mean, to me, that's even, you know, you're still going to have, there's more of us out there that can drive, right, than control a drone.
Now, if you have too many cheeseburgers delivered, Medicare is going to expand coverage for weight loss drugs.
There we go, yeah.
That's good. We talked about this yesterday, but this is a pretty big expansion, really, because as of now, it's diabetes only. Now, Medicare Part D drug benefit plans will cover anti and obesity drugs when used for heart-related ailments. Everybody's got one of those, don't they? A little clogged artery here or some cholesterol there. I don't know what kind of, bar you have to meet.
Valentine's Day there. Yeah.
So anyways, that's good news for Lilly, and it's good news for Novo Nordisk.
And in the long term, probably good news for the cost structure of Medicare and other potential cost, medical cost standpoint. But
I think it would avoid a lot of health problems down the road. Everybody, they go to the doctor, and the first thing, anyway, if you could lose a little weight, that would be number one. Okay,
well, what do they have you do first, right? You always stand on a scale, right, when you get there, right?
That's right.
So it must be important.
They humiliate you the first
right
thing they do. Johnson and this is my favorite stock. Johnson & Johnson stock closes in the red for seven consecutive sessions. You know, we've had this big run in the market. And you've heard me talk about Johnson & Johnson and Kimberly Clark and all these stocks. But yet these big firms, wirehouse firms, just love to own Johnson & Johnson. We'll be right back. And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, I'll be writing the newsletter today and tomorrow. Get it out there tomorrow afternoon as early as I can. And I'll be updating my target price for the S&P 500. We did a couple of big buys this past week. That'll show up in the newsletter this week. You should look at our portfolios. The performance of them. We have the Premier Growth Portfolio, which is pretty much large cap stocks. We go wherever the market takes us. We're unconstrained. We don't have to own all tech. We don't have to own anything at all. We can be all cash. We can have a few inverse funds. We can be have some financials, some be diversified. We can be all offshore and foreign country stocks if we want. It just depends on the conditions of the market. And then we have our dividend and growth fund, which is sizzling this year. Barry, that thing is really doing well. The only thing that we require there is the stock also pays a dividend yield, and that's mostly large cap stocks, so they come from all walks of life.
Yeah, which is nice because that's been one of those parts, spaces that's been certainly much more tricky to navigate, especially if you're just focused purely on yield. Although in our dividend growth portfolio, we're certainly not. We're looking for companies that have the ability to grow their dividend and happen to pay one, but
and
that thing's
grow
really
their
just
earnings.
Come alive since the end of
since
the end of June last year. That thing has just really taken off. So.
Yeah, well, you know, and I'm not really a fan. I mean, it's one thing to grow your earnings, but it's harder to grow your dividends. It's harder to grow your earnings.
Right, yeah, so, exactly. You can borrow money and pay dividends.
Yes, exactly. You can do secondary offering, blah, blah, blah. Okay, then we have the Ultra Growth portfolio, which is just, it's been sizzling. I mean, since we started it 5 years ago, almost 5.5 years ago. It's going to be more volatile, obviously, but it's having one heck of a year. And then the little emerging growth portfolio, it's the star this year. That thing has just soared. We've hit some huge, huge winners in there. And then last but not least, for the faint of heart, we have the individual bond fund where, you know, I took a look at all the – it's such a big thing out there, alternative investments. Everybody wants an alternative investment. I probably get more emails from people, are you looking for an alternative investment? So it's usually an engineered product of some sort.
Something that's
not
supposed
correlated.
To not look like the market, right?
Exactly. So you've got correlation to the market, and you've got investments that aren't correlated to the market. Well, everything is pretty much correlated. The economy, everything's correlated to the economy in one way or another. And usually your non-correlated alternative investments, somebody's earning a big commission somewhere. There's big fees. So I just came to the conclusion, you know, what's wrong with finding a bond on a company like Netflix, on a company like Broadcom, that's paying 5.5, 6, somewhere in that range, holding it for 4, 5, 6 years, getting your principal back at the end and collecting your interest along the way. And if interest rates go down, obviously, you also have capital gains in there. And there's no funny commissions in there at all. There's a management fee that we charge, a small management fee on the bond fund. But those alternative investments, they can have fees and commissions anywhere from 5 to 8, 9, 10%.
Oh, yeah, it's great.
The
yeah,
non-traded REITs were huge commissions. I haven't been a commission broker since for the last 24 years. When I first started, that was, you know, everybody was a broker-dealer back then. And then the RIA, I was on the cutting edge of the RIA, going all RIA, you know, a fee only. Okay, I want to mention FedEx because it is a bellwether for the economy. You recently had Fred Smith retire, somebody new at the helm. I'm sure he still has a lot of say there. That stock's up 7.7% today. That's good. I mean, that's a good bellwether stock for the economy. And then the other one I want to mention is one of the survivors in that bricks and mortar space is having a horrible day. Lululemon.
Yeah, them and Nike
smacked.
Both. Well, them and Nike both mentioned some you know, kind of dire news in terms of athletic wear, right? So
yeah,
Lulu.
You know, it's the weight loss drugs. It's the weight loss drugs. We don't have to work out or run. Just take a pill. I read about a workout pill that they're testing in some lab somewhere, where you take the pill and you get the same benefits as if you'd had to spend an hour at the gym. Now, now I'm waiting for that.
Is that gonna make my? I feel like it's gonna make my heart race. At
it comes with a
time.
Tank top, and you know you're looking good in the mirror and all that. Lululemon is down 18.5% today, or $88 per share. We don't own
it. And I can't remember the last time or if they've been down that much in a day.
No.
Certainly probably not from a market cap standpoint, but you know that those are days where they, you know, years and years ago where they had the fabric that you could see through, which is, you know, made the stock drop years ago.
Yeah.
But other than that, that's really been the only hiccup I could think of.
Yeah, now, the other disaster of the day, and, you know, the CEO of ServiceNow left ServiceNow to become the CEO at Nike. He's done a terrible job at Nike. Nike's is in the Dow. It's a Dow Jones Industrial Average stock. That's why the Dow's down over 100 points. Nike is tanking today. It's plunging 8.4%. I'm thinking, you know, Deckers has taken a little... Deckers, in the meantime, hit a new all-time high yesterday with their Hoka shoes. Nike getting smacked today. We don't own Nike either. So there's a couple interesting stories out there, a lot of interesting stories in the market on a daily basis. We'll be summing them all up in the newsletter. To get 2 free weeks of the newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. Check out our portfolios. Compare them with others out there. Set up an appointment with us, either on-site, in person in Sarasota, or off-site, you know, via telephone or Zoom, give Edie a call at 855-611-BEST. 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Past performance is not indicative of future performance. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Charles Schwab. Schwab is a member of SIPC and FINRA.